Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. I am a blessed person. I am blessed with, and his phrase is, every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. You know, I am blessed with a wonderful wife. I don't say that just to score brownie points. It doesn't hurt, but I don't say it just to score brownie points. It is true. I have been blessed with a wife who has loved me even when my behavior was not always lovable. And I appreciate that. I am blessed with four children who are now all married, so I have four children-in-law. I am blessed with three grandchildren who show me love and put a smile on my face. I am blessed with a solid roof over my head. I am blessed with food on my table. I am blessed with clothes in my wardrobe, closet, whatever you may call it. I am blessed with transportation. But as great as those blessings are, they are not the greatest blessings. While I love my wife, my family, and while I am grateful for my physical things that I have, there are spiritual blessings which are greater than all of those things. Thursday, many of us will celebrate Thanksgiving Day with food, family, friends, football. Not me per se, but some will. And maybe not even in that order. We will sit at a banquet table. We will eat a meal that is a little different probably than most of our other meals. It is a table that is beyond what is necessary for our life in order to live. A feast, a banquet, a bounty. And there's nothing wrong with those big, wonderful family days. But as was said during the Lord's Supper service, you are valuable to God. You are more important than food and clothing. You are of greater value than a Thanksgiving feast. If all you had, and yes, I watch Peanuts, if all you have is toast and popcorn, but you are in Christ, you have every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Do you know what those spiritual blessings include? I'm not going to read to you from Ephesians chapter 1, but if I just pull out some of the verses here, according to Ephesians 1, those spiritual blessings include, they're not limited to, but include that in Christ we are chosen. Again, a word we heard during the Lord's Supper. If you are in Christ, you have been adopted by God and are now sons or daughters of Jehovah. If you are in Christ, you have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus, forgiven of every sin, and live in the riches of his grace. Do you like these blessings? I do. You know, I like turkey. Okay. I like food. I don't really care what it is. For the most part, I like food. Okay. But I'll tell you what I really like. I like knowing that I'm forgiven. I like knowing that when this life is over, I'm spending eternity with thy Father in heaven, with Jesus as my Lord and Savior, with the Spirit whose eyes are always upon me. That's great. I'm thankful for that. I like everything that we get in this life. But I have to be careful that when Thanksgiving comes, it's not just simply centered around my physical blessings, because it happens in my head, in part because it happens in society. And so I want to stop, especially this week, and sit back and say, what are these spiritual blessings in the heavenly places that is given to me? And when we come around our table on Thanksgiving with our friends and family in Christ, it's going to be wonderful to share how Jesus has blessed you with a spiritual blessing. How do I respond to that spiritual blessing? Paul gives a short, staccato-styled triad that helps us. And in our call to worship, it was read to us. And I'm going to come back and take a look at these verses again, but I really want to just center today solely on verse 18. But in this triad, Paul says to the church in Thessalonica, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. When Paul gives this triad, the last of the three, we got the rejoice, we got the praying, and then we get the thanksgiving or the giving of thanks. But he says, I want you to do this in all circumstances. I only want to think about two questions on this verse today. How do I give thanks in all circumstances? And why do I give thanks in all circumstances? I think those two questions are really centered back upon what we read in Ephesians chapter 1, or how Paul opened to the church there his letter. In my study for this particular lesson and centering on verse 18, I was challenged to think about maybe the nuanced difference between gratitude and giving thanks. And I thought it was rather interesting. Here's the example that was given, and I thought it was very good. And it took me back to Luke 17. I would tell you, if churches today are doing Thanksgiving homilies, sermons, whatever you want to call it, I bet you there's a big number that are using Luke 17 as their text for the day, because it's just such a powerful, great passage. And in this passage, Jesus is traveling between Samaria and Galilee. So I'm not sure where he is. He's walking along that border. And as he's coming along that border, so we've got, it seems to be, we know there are at least Jewish people and a Samaritan. There are these 10 men who are lepers. And as Jesus is coming to this town, these 10 men cry out to Jesus, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. What we read after that, when Jesus hears them, is that he tells them to go show themselves to the priest. And then the Bible says, and as they went, here's the terminology, they were cleansed. Okay? As they went, now we would use the term heal, but because leprosy has such an uncleanliness tie to it, the wording that is given to us by Luke is the word cleansed, it is healed. So as they are going, all 10 men are cleansed. It stands to reason that all 10 men have an attitude of gratitude. I cannot imagine that they are walking towards town to go see the priest who would declare them clean, allowing them to be with their family, to be with their loved ones, to be amongst the people again. I cannot imagine that they don't have an attitude of gratitude. Now think through this with me, because what happens? What happens is only one of those 10 does something. One of those 10, and yes, he does happen to be a Samaritan. One of those 10 comes back, and the phrase is, and gives thanks. Well, he comes back and he praises Jesus for what he has done. And he says, there's no one returned to give thanks but this Samaritan. So in my study, the question that one of the writers had as I was reading through different commentaries and listening to different sermons and stuff was this question of, is there a nuanced difference between gratitude and thanksgiving? Yes, they are often used as synonyms. We even sing, give thanks, you know, the rest of the phrase, with a grateful heart. So we're saying they're similar words, but there's a difference between the two. We understand that even in our songs, okay? The giving of thanks seems to carry with it an action, while gratitude is the overall attitude of which I have. So hopefully my attitude brings forth my action. So I am grateful for what God has done, and it is seen in my thanksgiving back to God. So here's the question that I was proposing. How do we give thanks to God? That to me has to be unpacked at some level for all of us. And I believe the answer is actually found in the word, give. Give thanks, or thanksgiving. The action is found in the word, give. Carrie and I had a wonderful opportunity to be with two very dear friends of ours for lunch this past Thursday. People who have known us for almost 30 years. People who have loved Carrie and I deeply. People who have financially, especially they knew us when we were much younger and going through difficulties, stepped into our lives on an unreal level and walked beside us. And we had these people that we were having lunch with. And now here we are almost 30 years later. We've talked about history just because we don't see each other all the time. These people provided spiritual counsel and advice every step of my journey over the last 30 years. Both the husband and the wife. But here's what I realized on Thursday. And they did not make it as a statement, by the way. It's truly that kind of epiphany that comes. What I realized on Thursday is they never wanted to be repaid. They didn't give so that they could get. They gave so I could learn. And that epiphany that came to me after our lunch, after our time together, As I came back home, as I continued to work on this lesson, was that thanksgiving is giving so that somebody could receive Jesus through you. The way I give thanks to God is to let my light so shine among men that they see my good works, and I know I've hammered the phrase before, and not glorify me, but glorify my Father who is in heaven. Okay? And that's the difference. See, the difference is so often I want it to be about me. I want that. And I get a little persnickety. I'm trying to figure out a good word to say here. If someone doesn't say thank you when I do something nice for them. Until I look at Jesus who washed Judas's feet. And then I humble myself. And say, my God, I am a sinner saved by your grace. Help me to show your love to a lost and dying world who doesn't even know they are dying. Help them to see you by seeing me. Let me give thanks to you by taking you, your message, your glory, your goodness, and letting it be the bountiful feast of salvation upon which those who are lost become saved. God didn't create us because he had an ego. God created us because he is the essence of love. And love is seen in relationship. That's why he created us. If you don't want to have the relationship, that's on you. But God created you because he loves you. And giving thanks, giving back to God, sacrificing, being a living sacrifice. How could that ever be too much to be asked for one who gave his all for someone like me? I did nothing to earn, to deserve the cross. Yet Jesus humbly, freely, while I was yet a sinner, died for me. Yes, I need to know how to give thanks. And just to say thank you for my physical blessings misses it. Misses it. I need to learn to be thankful for every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. And it starts with my salvation. So, we can give thanks when things are going well. Second question, why should I give thanks when things are not, when life is harsh, when people are mean? How? I need to be giving to God through me of his greatness. Why? It's interesting to me. Look again at verse 18. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. You know, what's interesting to me is he didn't say, give thanks for all circumstances. Because I'm going to be really honest with you. I am not thankful when an innocent person is hurt by the sin of someone else. I'm not thankful for that. I don't even believe that's God's plan. I don't believe God plans for innocent people to be harmed by sin. I think he hates it. In fact, when children are hurt, Jesus hates it so much, he says, it's better for a millstone to be hung around your neck and you to be thrown into the depths of the sea. I'm telling you, he hates it. I'm not thankful for sin. I'm not thankful for pain and suffering and disease. I'm not thankful for death. I'm not thankful for war or conflict. But I can be thankful in all of those situations. And there is a difference. And the difference is the why. And the why is not just because it is God's will, that's true. Because I'm in Christ Jesus. The reason why is I am never alone in those horrible circumstances. David would say, Psalm 23, verse 4, we can all quote it. I'm just asking you to think through this. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. But the sentence doesn't end there. It continues on by saying, for thou art with me. Thy rod, thy staff, they comfort me. The reason when I'm walking through that darkest time, that valley, that I don't have fear, is because I am not alone. Why do I give thanks in all the circumstances? Because I am not alone in those circumstances. God is with me. The shepherd is with him. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 and verse 18. For I consider that the suffering of this present time, sufferings of this present time, are not worth comparing to the glory that is to be revealed in us. Just stop for a moment. We'll hit 28 in just a second. Paul says, I consider the sufferings, I consider the negative circumstances in which I exist are not even worth comparing to the glory that comes when I am with God, with that which will be revealed. Paul says, here's all this negative junk, these circumstances, imprisonment, beatings, unfair trials, lies, character assassination. I don't even consider them worth comparing to the glory that's going to be revealed. Why does he say that? Now come to verse 28. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. Paul's statement is when you are in Christ, when you are a part of God's family, when that love between you and God is cemented together, what you know is God's got it all. He's got it all. So therefore, in all those circumstances, The good that is found is not the circumstance. The good that is found is God is at work doing. God's at work doing. I don't like the circumstances. Will there be something good that comes out of it? I don't even always know that answer. But I do know that God is in it. And God's going to bring something that only He can bring to it. His purpose, His will is going to be okay for me. So where does that leave me in these terrible circumstances? Paul just continues on. I'm going to jump down beginning with verse 35, but you could just continue on. But he says in verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Lost my place here. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Or tribulation? Or distress? Or persecution? Or famine? Or nakedness? Or danger? Or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We're regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. In these circumstances, I don't even compare it to the glory that's going on, the suffering. In all of these circumstances, God's good will exists. And how do I know that? Because I know the end. I know that when I am in Christ, nothing else matters, and no one can take me away. I'm in Him. I love it. A spiritual blessing. I am His child. I sit at the banquet table of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Is there any other Thanksgiving table you would rather be at? Not me. David would say, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy is going to follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell. I will just sit in the house of the Lord forever. Give thanks in all circumstances only happens when we see the big picture perspective. It is then and only then can we see God at work. Because if we get too caught up in the circumstances, and we get too caught up in the pain and in the sorrow and in the fear, we're paralyzed. And we stop. And we only look at self. But Jesus comes alongside of you. The Spirit of God resides in you. You are never alone. Why am I thankful? Because I have received every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. And Jesus has become the greatest example of how to live. He has shown me what it is like to give thanks no matter what. Oh, to be like Him. Oh, to be like Him. If we can help you in that way, won't you come as we stand and as we sing?